United States Coast Guard.
Welcome to the Tone of Tennis Show by Parson Voices of the People. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you. Join our conversation. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also send us your comments via social media. On Twitter, we are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are at Tone and Tenor Radio. You can also like us on our Facebook page. Just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us. This is our yearly Memorial Day show. And our topic today is remembering the fallen. To many, Memorial Day is just another excuse for a three-day weekend. It's also known as the day that marks the official start of summer, and as a day devoted to getting great deals at the mall. However, the true meaning of Memorial Day goes far beyond barbecues and sales. Memorial Day is a day to honor our military servicemen and women that gave their lives protecting our country and its honor. As we remember those that gave their lives, we will also want to remember and embrace those families struggling around our cities, states, and nation, as well as the world, as they remember loved ones that lost their lives to war and senseless violence. Again, our topic today is remembering the fallen. You know, Pat, every year we remember those that gave their lives for this country so that we can do what we're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
But it means a lot more to me today than just our military servicemen and women that have given of themselves. It's also a time to remember and embrace those that lost their lives, families that lost their loved ones,
sure,
to violence. You know, not just gun violence, you know, not just stabbings, but all violence. You know, we have to start really taking a real look at this. And as I was reflecting, I went back to not just our Memorial Day shows, but this show started on April 26, 2013, almost 9 years ago. And that first show's topic was gun control in America. Think about this. 4/26/13. A little over 9 years ago, we're still having the same conversations. And on that show, we had John Marovitz. He was attorney and gun rights. Senator Pat Toomey's legislative director, Dan Brandt, a former executive director of Ceasefire PA, Shira Goodman, and Brandon Bryce, conservative commentator. And as we keep fast forwarding, the very next show was 5/13, and this is going to be interesting. The topic was gun control and mental illness. 9 years ago, we're talking about the same things.
Well, nothing's been done.
let me say this, and listen to the people that were on that show. Dorothy Johnson Spieth, founders of Mother in Charge. The same person you see that is now in every let's pray, let's this, 9 years ago. You can hear these shows by going to our SoundCloud, and you will hear. Not, days are different, but it's the same old rhetoric. We also had Ron Homburg, National Director for Policy and Legal Affairs, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. So, Dr. Matthew Horford, Chief Medical Officer for the city of, at that time for the City of Philadelphia Department of Behavioral Health and Intellectual Disability Services. Fast forward 3 years later, we have a show dated 1-8-16, Executive Orders on Gun Control. That's when President Barack Obama was in office, and he talked about putting in executive orders on gun control. That show was former Executive Director Shira Goodman, John Holtwater, the NRA Institute for Legislative Action, the PA State Liaison. Think about this. 9 years later, 6 years later, today, we're having the same conversation. As we remember those that gave their lives so that we could be free, we have other folks and children. And I must say, that show, 426, was on the heels of the Sandy Hook shooting, where numerous children were killed. We're now looking at Texas, where 20 children and 2 adults were killed by a military-styled rifle. The same conversations, the same I'm mad, the same, a lot of the same legislators, elected officials are still in these national, city, and state offices, and the same organizations with the same rhetoric 9 years later, 6 years later, 2 years later, 1 year later. And all they're doing is reaping the benefits of the funding so that they can stand in front of a camera and say, I'm mad, I'm upset, and not doing a damn thing about it. Every time there's a mass shooting, there have been so many mass shootings in this country, some we have never heard about, and the same rhetoric. As we honor those that gave their lives so that we could be free, but we have folks killing one another in the streets. We have folks going into our schools killing children. We have an hour delay in Texas that they're trying to do the, what's my favorite line? The Texas two-step on why it took an hour for law enforcement to go into that room, to go into that building. Some are even saying some of the officers, and this has not been verified, but it seems like the press conference after press conference now, bit by bit, some of these things are becoming facts, that some officers remove their own children out of their school while others were killed. You know, to all of you organizations in the city of Philadelphia and around this country, I'm going to challenge you right now. Stay the hell off the TV. Stay the hell off these marches. Stay away from these marches. And let's really start to look at this. And if it's not about the money and if it's not about the power, then prove me wrong. If you're not going to prove me wrong, get out the way. Because our children are dying.
Yeah.
Our elders are dying.
Yep. And, you know.
And you're doing not a damn thing about it. But talking the same cackalacky bullcrap you talked 9 years ago, 6 years ago. Yes, I named you, and I will continue to name your organizations. If you go back, people go back, especially to 5313, gun control and mental illness. You heard it here on Tone and Tenor. Trying to address this situation 9 years ago after Sandy Hook. But every time there's a mass shooting, everybody gets up and down until something else comes along in major media that takes over, takes precedence, and is forgotten about. But those lives that have been changed, those families that have been changed, not from war, but from street violence.
Well, I mean, after a while,
it'll never change. And you know, we'll hear from Dallas Mavericks at the end of the show, Coach. And he says the same thing we've been saying. Enough is enough. But how much is really enough? Why are we numb? You know, as I was coming into the studio today, not too far from where I live, broad daylight, Pat, 52nd and Greenway, someone was shot and killed.
I believe that.
No area, and people, stop this. You guys that live in the suburbs of these cities and these states, stop saying, oh, this never happened to us. Oh, this. No community is immune from violence. I'm not going to say gun violence. I'm going to say violence. No community is immune.
Well, it's not that it's immune, it's just less likely, right? I mean, just by, you know, and these are, so just to affirm what Randall's saying, y'all. So, and this is according to Philadelphia Controller's Office. So far, we've had 194 homicides.
But you know what? Yet and still, we had these crazy people talking about, oh, but that's down from last year. That's down from this. Mm. A homicide is a homicide.
Sure. I agree.
What are you doing about solving these?
Yeah, but it's not. I'm being honest with you, and people, I might be extremely, even more unpopular after this statement.
You?
Yeah, even more unpopular. It's not just that. It's some layers, right? Let me get through the numbers, and you guys will understand what I'm saying. So. 194 homicides, 697 shootings non-fatal. It's way too many. So 20% of shootings are fatal. So far. Associated court cases. People that actually end up in some type of trouble or in handcuffs, 20% out of 100%. That's horrible. So male, 88%. 767 people have been, you know, shot or caught up in some type of crossfire or something.
That's just in Philadelphia.
We're just talking about Philly, yeah. Women, 103. By ethnicity, 8% white, 77% black, non-Hispanic, 14% Hispanic, 1% Asian. Now, by age, younger than 18, 9%, but 18 to 30, 49%. 31 to 45, 31%. Older than 45, 10%. Shall I go on? Like, this is the harsh numbers, y'all.
And just if we really want to look at it, that, you know, we like to give you perspective on a national. To date, 27 school shootings with injuries or deaths have taken place this year. We're talking about school shootings across the country.
Yep.
27. You know, the U.S. has surpassed 200 mass shootings this year. So to put that in perspective, a mass shooting is four or more people. Persons.
Yep.
So if you take 200 mass shootings of four or more persons this year.
Yep. And the previous years weren't any better. 2021 was 693.
In some military conflicts, we don't even lose that many people.
No.
See, we're sitting here talking about people that fought for the freedom so that Pat and I and TJ and everybody here in this studio can do what we do. But when we look at the real perspective of this, people are dying. People are being shot for this. But folks died so that we could do what we're doing today. You know, I can't wrap my head around that, Pat. I've been trying to rep for 9 years. 9 years.
There's no, again, like I've told y'all before, there's no money in the cure. The money is in the cancer.
And now everybody wants to talk about trauma and mental illness. I just gave you 9 years ago on 5/3/13, we did a show, Gun Control and Mental Illness. No one, as Pat said, has acted on a solution because there's no money in the solutions. Let's keep it real. We could talk the talk, but if you're not going to walk the walk, get the hell out the way. The greatest country of all, we can talk about what Russia is doing in Ukraine. We could talk about what happened in Vietnam. We could talk about what happened in the Civil War. But let's talk about what's happening here and now. Let's stop making all of this stuff political. Let's start holding our chief law enforcement officers accountable. You know, we have what they call prisoners' rights here in the United States, where a prisoner makes out better by going to jail than the elderly person that has to choose between their medicine and living. Or those that won't even go to school.
Yeah, but it's all that free labor that they're getting for 54 cents an hour. It's preposterous. And then when you come out of jail, you can't even
get a job.
Like, what? Like, that's not rehabilitative. It's not rehabilitative, right? The purpose of jail, for those people, everybody's criminals. No, people, listen, this whole crab in the barrel stuff is hogwash. It's hogwash. Who created the barrel? How are we getting the barrel? Nobody wants to talk about it.
Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk the real. See, before you can find a solution, you gotta identify. You know, those of us that went to college or those of us that went to high school or those of us that went, there was always, you identify the problem.
Hmm. Well, you should.
Or you're supposed to. Then you work towards a solution. You can't work toward a solution with our young people by not having the young people involved. You can't have young people and keep telling them what to do. Hmm. You know, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to do that. These old has-beens that have been around in these organizations reaping the benefits of these monies have got to move out the way, as Pat always says.
I'm saying this for 10 years now. Like, because I'm tired. And again, I've been confronted by maybe one or two elders. And I get their point. I'm not saying that we don't need your information. I'm not saying that, right? Because there's some value for somebody who's been doing something. But at this point, if you've been in office or the executive director of a nonprofit or whatever the case is for 10, 20, 30, some cases 40 years, there's no way you're in tune. Like, some of y'all been in office as long as I've been alive. There's no way you could possibly think that you're in tune.
But
anything I approach, and you know this, I always approach it with some type of secession or attitude of secession. Like, how am I going to replace myself, right? How am I going to put somebody either in this position or in position, not in place, right? Because there's a difference.
But when you only want, when you only think about it, all of you out there that are elected officials, let's keep it real. You're not in it for the money. You're in it for the power. And as Pat always says, and I may not.
That's not all
you,
of them, because some people are in here for service. Them,
right. But
a few.
Majority or not. Those of you that are doing, are actually walking the walk and talking the talk and trying to move the needle, I'll commend you. But as Pat said, there's few. You know, just from Gun Violence Archive, this is just gun violence. 2021, and this is evidence-based research since that they've been doing since 2013. In 2021, there has been in the United States, at the end of 20, 45,011 deaths. This is across the country. As of today, think about this. As of today, we just told you how many shootings was just in, murders were in Philadelphia alone. This is preposterous. Children under from 0 to 11 that were killed in 2021 was 313. Injured 750. 12 to 17 killed 1,247. Injured 3,384. We're talking about just across the, we're talking about this whole country now. Mm-hmm. Officer involved incident 68. Officer killed or injured 371. Yeah, you know, this is crazy. These numbers are research. You can go and find them on Gun Violence Archive, GVA, and you can look them up yourself. It even breaks it down as to the states by month and the incidents and where it took place. You know, we must stop becoming numb to this. We have to do this, Pat. And I'm at wit's end.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I get that. You know, again, as somebody who has lost, you know, several mentees to just.
Yeah, because every time I turn around, you were going to a funeral.
Recently, in the past year.
Yeah.
You know, some of y'all know, some of y'all may or may not know this, but, you know, I've coached in the Kensington section of Philadelphia for about maybe 6 years, along with a few other guys, Steve, Ricardo, and I can't remember his name right now. It'll come to me in a second. But anyway, you know, we're all young guys, but we saw the value of getting involved.
Of life.
No, I was getting involved. You know, because a lot of these young men don't
that
have
protect somebody's life.
Yeah, yeah.
By getting involved, by giving people a real and sustainable way to pursue something in life.
Yeah, giving them an outlet.
You know, sports. I'm not against sports. We had sports in school, high school. Mm-hmm. Once they started taking all of these extracurricular activities out of these schools, added to the problems
and allowed vending machines. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the whole game. Because I remember when I was in high school.
Game. Go ahead.
They
Pat.
Started. This was high school, late '90s. So, remember they started allowing vending machines.
Mm-hmm.
They took away the instruments. I vaguely remember.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, how come? Now we're talking when we talk about taking away, we're talking about the traditional public schools.
No, it was public. Yeah, so we are both a product
of
public
schools.
It's
a shame that we have to now decipher between traditional public schools and charter schools, which are, and people that know, are part of the public school systems.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so when you talk about choice, you're given a choice for a charter school, which is still a part of the public school system.
Yeah, they just get half the funding. Yeah. And they have to make up the difference themselves.
Yo, Pat, let's just take a break with that. We're going to say our topic today is remembering the fallen. Yes, we're remembering those that gave their lives so that we can do what we're doing, so you can go to work, so you can drive your car on the street. But we're also remembering those and embracing those families and those that have lost loved ones. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Tony Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM out of Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
Welcome back to Tony Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM. Our topic today is remembering the fallen. You know, we normally play We're Proud, God Bless the USA, and you know, I just thought about this as I was listening to the song and then listening to John F. Kennedy's speech. You know, ask not what. No, I'm not even going to go that route. Are we truly free?
No.
Are we truly free?
We're not. Whether you're a slave to money, to stuff, you know, might even be captive in your home.
We're now becoming locked into our own homes. Our seniors are not able to go out into the streets. Our kids are not able to go to school. I mean, this is ridiculous. You know, you got to go through metal detectors. You've got kids 3 years old with guns in their backpacks. Mm-hmm. You know, so you think the freedom we're not free. We're free in one aspect, but we're caught up, or we're almost locked up in our homes, in our streets, in our cars. You know, you have to drive your car and be mindful on who's behind you. Is somebody going to pull up and have road rage and shoot you? You know, it's unheard of. Mm-hmm. As we try to remember those men and women, you know, sometimes I wonder, Pat, those that gave their lives, are they rolling over in their graves? If they knew, what would they be rolling over in their graves, knowing what America looks like today?
I think so. Yeah, but again, there's building blocks that have been put in place for the chaos that we're seeing today. And honestly, I think it started around the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. With the whole war on drugs thing. You know, war on drugs really means we're going into black neighborhoods. That's what that means, people, just in case you didn't know that. Again, take it however you want. The truth is the truth. We can just look at the numbers and the statistics. But anytime there's a war on drugs or something, it always ends up with poor people or black and brown people being, you know, marginalized, mistreated, miseducated, misarrested, and a lot of misdirection.
A lot of miss there.
Yeah. and a lot of people miss the point on that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even just, you know, and I'm not gonna lie, it was interesting just seeing a lot of the conversations around, there was a lot of state reps who were basically pushing on the Republicans, the Republican side, to, you know, push across some gun bills. I know that Senator Haywood has something with like separate investigations. I don't know if it passed. It was a Senate bill for, you know, separate investigations in like in shootings, particularly around police shootings or witness shootings, to be done by a third party, right? Because if Randall's my homeboy, not saying he'll do this, but, you know, if he pops somebody, I mean, let's be real, I'm not going to tell all of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, everything's going to be unfounded, especially if I'm in internal affairs. Let's just be real, guys. Like, it is what it is. You can take it however you want.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a victim of that, you know, the old code blue.
Sure.
You know, and the, you know, one of the biggest problems with this whole situation is that our judicial system has become more of a legislature type of a system as opposed to doing the job that they're supposed to be doing.
Mm.
You know, somebody brought this up one day, and I don't know whether it was you, Pat, or someone else. They said, let's think about this. Your judges in your cities or your commonwealth are voted on.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, they're appointed.
They're appointed.
Which I think is crazy to me.
The executive branch, which is your president.
Yeah.
And they are then go before the legislature.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about Supreme Court. They go before the Supreme Court. I'm sorry, before the legislature. And they're voted on.
Yeah, and most times they homies.
Right.
Or somebody's homie.
Think about it. When you turn on the TV, you talk about, you start here, oh, we need a conservative court. We need a progressive court. We need a moderate court. They have now made that a legislate part of the legislators to make up their mind on who will be having those final says on some of the things that control our lives nationally.
Literally.
And then the trickle-down theory goes to the states, and then when they feel like they don't want to address it, because now they may make those folks that got them in there a little angry.
Sure.
And they will be talking about, well, it's time for some of them to retire or whatever. We're going to push it back to the states. Well, a lot of this stuff should have stayed in the states to begin with.
Yeah, no. And because honestly, y'all, when it comes to legislation, and here's the other thing y'all need to understand. Police and judges are law enforcement. Judges' jobs are to interpret and enforce, right? Police's jobs are to enforce. Sheriff's job is to enforce. Legislators' jobs are to interpret and create or present legislation, because they don't. Not too many of them create much of anything. I mean, we got a bunch of laws on the books that are 200 years old.
That are never enforced. Some of them, and then some of them that should be enforced.
Are not
enforced. Yeah. You know, it's a catch-22. We could create, everybody's yelling for more laws, more this, more that, more the other. Well, if we put those laws on the books.
Who's
going to enforce them?
Mm. Yeah.
Now the excuse is, oh, we don't have enough law enforcement officers. We don't have enough police. We don't have enough this. We don't have enough that. Well, somewhere along the line, somebody dropped the ball there too.
Yeah, but
let me finish, because as attrition happened, you knew that you have so many officers that are going to retire.
Mm.
You have so many that you know going to suffer from burnout.
Mm.
And you know, we're numbers people, and we can find the numbers and bring them back to you. But somebody in these departments should be looking at this. Somebody in the state, city, and national controller's office should be looking at these numbers.
Mm.
This didn't just happen overnight. You know, now we're trying to play catch up. You know, I'm going to say something that was funny,
yes,
Pat.
So just to add to what you were saying, so y'all understand something. So our city budget that was just that's about to be approved is $5.27 billion. $727 million that goes to the police department. Again, there's no shade. There's no shade. This is just the numbers. Like, don't get mad. This is the numbers. $727 million. So almost $750 million goes to the police force.
I had to laugh. You know, what was interesting.
That's one fifth, by the way.
Here in Philadelphia, the district attorney's office, basically in a recent report in the Philadelphia Inquirer, they were bragging about prostitution arrests are way down. For the past year, only 4 arrests have been made. Well, there's a street right in Philadelphia. If you were going to arrest prostitutes, there's about 10 of them right now. You can go arrest right now. But if you don't have anything or a program to put these young ladies and men in, your numbers are bogus.
Yeah, sex trafficking is a problem. It really is.
They're bogus. So stop bragging about that. You know, everybody's getting these feel-good stories. Oh, he's doing this, he's doing a great job. No.
Yeah, but nobody still wants to address the fact that, you know, when we had those questions, it was, what, 2 cycles ago? For those community officers, y'all voted against it. Let me see if I can find
But the problem is, if people are not informed and they don't understand—
Ignorance is not an excuse in the eyes of law, man.
But they don't know what they're voting for. And then they become victims of their voting booth. You know, you have to stop voting for people on name. You have to stop voting for people because they gave you a turkey. You have to stop voting for people that are giving you all of these materialistic things, but you're not voting for them when they are actually putting things in place that affect your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start talking to what ifs. Then you start running to these same old organizations, and these same old organizations are getting, it's not just in Philadelphia. They are living, some of these cats are living lavish lifestyles. Because why? There is no track involved. There is no transparency, no responsibility, no accountability, no credibility, and definitely no knowledge. You know, these legislators, some of them in the nation, in the state, and in the city say, we're just like you. They're not just like you if they're making 6-figure salaries and half of them have protection. They're not just like you. They go home to a safe haven.
Yeah, and their kids go to private school.
That's true. You know, There were city council people using city cars to take their...
And I dare one of y'all to challenge me on that.
And there were city council people that were taking their kids to Lower Marion School District in a city car.
Yep. I remember that.
But why? Because they don't believe in the Philadelphia public education school system.
But they're making decisions
for your
children. You know, the dumbest thing to me, now we're talking about this, I always wanted to bring this up on air. So one of the dumbest things to me is the fact that, like, people like crossing guards and bus drivers aren't well paid. You know how dumb that is? You know, these people are transporting your children.
Across the street, in these crazy behind the way, these crazy people are driving, trying to make sure your children are protected.
But not even just that. I still remember my cross guard, Mrs. Hall, older, thin sister. I mean, she had gray hair as long as I can remember. But I remember, even to maybe up a few years ago, you know. And you know, my father is retired, but he's a crossing guard.
You're talking about crossing guards, right?
Uh-huh.
But see, I'm a little bit older than you. We took pride as young people because we were part of the system with the safety patrol.
Yeah. Yeah, we had home monitors growing up.
The young people played a part in the safety of their peers, of the younger people.
Yeah. And it gives you a sense of responsibility.
It gives you a sense of responsibility. Yep. But you take those things away, and then you have these people jumping up and down, screaming and yelling and what have you. Oh, they need to do this. But you're not including. You know, why fix something that's not broke? Why take away something that's not broke?
Because it's empowering. Why? It's empowering, and I'm talking, trust me, I'm talking from a position of strength. Like, literally, there's a, and don't get me wrong, there's people who serve. There's a difference between service and enabling.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? In service, there should be some level of empowerment, right? Where you get somebody to the next location or the next whatever. But like, man, it's either one extreme or the other. It's what I've seen. As far as our government goes, it's ignore or enable.
Mm.
And there's no in between.
Well, you know what, Pat? I was thinking about this earlier today, and I'm still thinking about on how we can do this, that we need to have a real youth summit and bring the young people to the table, ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, not tell them, but with, and let them bring the solutions to the table. Not these organizations that claim they got young people, but they're not really doing anything. Bring young people from all walks of life. Because if you're going to talk diversity, we need to have everyone involved. With that said, let's take our second break. You're listening to Tony Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 out of Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania. Back to Tony Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
The bells that you hear, we toll the seven bells, and the first six tolls honor those who have responded, served, protected, defended, sacrificed, suffered. And the seventh bell that you heard is for all those that lost their lives. And that's how we pay homage to all of our men and women, plus those that have lost their lives to senseless violence. Our topic today is remembering the fallen. Some of you may think that, you know, this is Memorial Day and it's supposed to be a feel-good day, but I'm not feeling good, Pat. I'm not feeling good.
Me neither. I'm still going to get barbecue, though. But,
You better make sure I get some.
Yeah, I'm really I would say disappointed. I mean, there's no point in being angry because it's not, this stuff I can't control.
Right.
We have a body, we have several legislative bodies from, you know, from the state level all the way down. You know, you have 203 people in the state legislature. You have 50 people in the Senate. We have our two senators on the national level. And what do we have now? 21 Congress people, if that. So I know we've lost a couple seats in the last 10 years because of the census, because y'all don't want to do your census, but that's fine. Don't complain.
Now they're complaining because no one, committee people, did their job. You know, the other thing is, you know, and I'm talking about organizations. You know, we can't keep, into the city of Philadelphia, and I'm speaking to you, you can't keep funding organizations that are participating or have employees that are participating in violence. Here in Philadelphia, we have an organization called the Philadelphia Anti-Drug, Anti-Violence Network.
Mm-hmm.
One person has been involved in a shooting. And I don't know whether the city or the police have caught him yet, but they work for them. And then we had another person that was running for or ran for election, them and their wife, one for state rep in District 10, and the husband running for a seat in the Democratic Committee, Pennsylvania Democratic Committee, jumping out of a car and going after a woman. Now, you're in an organization that's supposed to de-escalate violence, mm-hmm. but you're up there doing violence. So why should anyone listen to you? We do not need thugs in government. Those days are over.
No, they're still there.
No, the need for them are over. We know they're still there. You know, and people have to stand up and speak out. Otherwise, it's going to continue to be business as usual. Mm-hmm. And those that died for your right to vote, those that died in the numerous wars so that we can here be free. We're a capitalistic society, unlike the dictatorships of other societies around the world that do not have the privilege of media.
Yeah, that's true.
But our media has to do a better job as well. You know, Pat, I know we've got a long ending, but, you know, there's a couple of things that I want to say personally, mm-hmm. if I may.
Sure.
There's two people that, at this time, I want to pay homage to. Former vet, former sergeant, was in World War II, first black African-American to graduate from Marquette School of Medicine, now known as MCW, came back and gave his all to the city of Philadelphia. And, you know, people don't want to believe the city. Philadelphia is a very racist city. He was the first black in many things. He paved the way for Dr. Alan Stanton, who still in 2020, during the pandemic, was snubbed by elected officials as she tried to do what she needed to do to make sure folks were going to make it through the pandemic. And she kept pushing on. And then after the fact, once she became very popular, the city tried to embrace her after the fact. The same with Dr. Robinson after he sued the city, a military veteran.
Mm. Well, you know, people are always a day late in doctor.
African-American.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to pay homage to an organization that you and I and several people had to our elderly to attend, CARE, the Center for Advocacy and the Rights and Interests of the Elderly, who celebrated their 45th anniversary, helping the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And congratulations to the Outstanding Volunteer Awardee. Yes, I'm doing it. My mother, Jacqueline R. Jefferson, who's been volunteering and fighting for youth and elders all of her life.
Yeah.
You know, so her legacy will continue in the city of Philadelphia and carry with the award named after her.
Yeah, they definitely solidified that. I mean, that's more than deserved. More than deserved.
You know, there's several people in this city that are very quiet, moving. You know, they're being honored. And you don't see, you know, normally all these other organizations honor the same old people.
Oh, well, we don't get no awards. I don't know. But, I think the funniest was like, when the person was like, oh, I don't know how I got this award. Like, you're married to the person that is on the committee. Like, okay, we're going to play that game. But that's fine.
But you know, these awards, you know, some of them mean something to people, some of them don't. But we want to always pay homage to those that are paving the way or have paved the way.
Mm. Now, recognition is important.
You know, right. to because without them, we couldn't be doing what we're doing, Pat.
Absolutely.
And this Memorial Day weekend, you know, Pat says he's going to give some barbecue. Everyone have barbecue, enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
But remember,
I'm coming to your house. I'm eating up all your food, and I'm drinking up all your alcohol. Yeah, I said it.
But you know,
as we grow
into the show, you know, we have a couple of things we want to do. It's going to take some time near the end of the show, and we're going to end the show, but not end the show a little bit early, Pat, so we can get those other things heard. And yeah. If you have anything that you want to add before
While we're doing that, I wanted to my nephew Ali Edward, happy birthday to you, man. So,
and congratulations to all those that have graduated from high school and college.
And there's a bunch of graduations,
you know,
this past week.
And that you will make a difference in the United States.
Definitely make the world a better place, please.
Please. We want to thank, you know, we're gonna sign off, but not sign off. You know, listeners, follow our show on social media. On Twitter, we are at Tone and Tenor. To find us on Facebook, just type in www.facebook.com/Tone and Tenor to find our page. Our studio engineer, we want to thank our studio engineers. TJ, thank you. This Memorial Day, we remember the service, sacrifice, and commitments of those who have been willing to give the last full measure of devotion for us to enjoy the blessings of liberty, freedom, and democracy. Our debt to the heroic men and valiant women in the service of our country can never be repaid. They have earned our undying gratitude. America will never forget their sacrifices. President Harry S. Truman. We also remember those who lost their lives to the senseless gun violence that plagues our nation. We also remember those in the Ukraine that are suffering due to war and the ego of Russian President Putin. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
Thank you for listening to Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voice of the People, here on WWDB Talk 860 AM out of Philadelphia, out of Ballard Kenwood, Pennsylvania.
Since we left Shoot Around, 14 children were killed 400 miles from here, and a teacher. And in the last 10 days, we've had elderly black people killed in a supermarket in Buffalo. We've had Asian churchgoers killed in Southern California. And now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. There's 50 senators right now who refuse to vote on H.R. 8, which is a background check rule that the House passed a couple of years ago. It's been sitting there for 2 years. And there's a reason they won't vote on it, to hold on to power. So I ask you, Mitch McConnell, I ask all of you senators who refuse to do anything about the violence and school shootings and supermarket shootings, I ask you, are you going to put your own desire for power ahead of the lives of our children and our elderly and our churchgoers? Because that's what it looks like. It's what we do every week. So I'm fed up. I've had enough.